Good evening. And now, the Inspirational Quarterly.
Good evening, and welcome back to the Inspirational Quarterly, the world's most celebrated, I'm being told it's the world's second most celebrated podcast devoted entirely to reading the 2006 novel StarCraft Ghost Nova by USA Today bestselling author Keith R.A. DeCandido. I'm Davey Reedon, and joining me today is Kara Ellison. Hello, Kara.
Oh, hi. Hi.
Oh,
I'm here.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I didn't see you there.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm
hello.
Just... Yeah, I'm, you know, I was just wearing the same shirt as the wallpaper pattern. So that's why I didn't seem like I was there.
Yeah, right. You're now part of some sort of like indie movie.
Right.
That's a part of our StarCraft Ghost Nova cinematic universe.
Right.
Some really navel-gazy kind of insufferable indie thing. Exactly. thanks everyone for the patience with us as we were out the last couple weeks. Kara and I took turns getting sick, and that was fun. So
yeah,
here we are.
I mean, yeah. The result is an incredibly Davey Reed, an incredibly horsey, kind of musky voice that
I do have a little of that. I do have a little of that in the voice, don't
it's
I?
Got a
I'm
little,
still,
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I got. If you got to get COVID, at least you ought to record an episode of a podcast with kind of a gravelly voice.
If you've got to get COVID, get the COVID that gives you the sexy voice.
4 out of 5 doctors recommend recording a podcast episode while you're in the process of recovering from COVID. It does sound kind of nice, I gotta say. So I don't know, maybe I should get COVID again after this. Oh wait, no, you have like immunity after you get it. So
oh, do you get immune? That's good, because that probably means that I don't have to feel terrible for the rest of my life, right? That's true.
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
Although I'm sure there's lots of other diseases I could go out and get that kind of rasp up my voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. Thanks everyone for your patience. I gotta say, as we get closer and closer to the end of this book, one thing or another just keeps dragging it out longer and longer and longer. You know what I mean? It seems like every single time there's something. In fact, just for funsies, I looked back at our in recent episodes, our where we were in the pages on today we are on page 288 of StarCraft Ghost Nova on and today is April 14th, 2022. On December 19th, 2021, we were on page 258, which means that we've covered exactly 30 pages of this book in the last 4 months. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of pages. We're not blazing through the tail end of this book.
Like, I am like genuinely enjoying like prolonging.
I know. It's both, you know,
it's funnier.
It's funny. I feel this competing, there are two wolves in me, and one of them finds this hilarious, and the other is really apologetic to our audience. Or I don't know, maybe to our audience, this is, you know, part of the podcast experience, right? It's like if you're a reader of Game of Thrones, you know, now part of the reading of Game of Thrones is the when will Winds of Winter come out, right? Like, that's, you can't be reading those books now and not have that be like an aspect of your time with the books, right?
Yeah.
So maybe similarly, we are introducing, you know, this kind of George R.R. Martin-esque insufferable refusal to just get the fuck on with it.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought that the second point you were going to make was more like you were like getting annoyed with the fact that we have to continue to come back to this podcast that's not finished, because I feel like it is like a thing that now every week you and I are like, okay, when are we going to do the podcast? And like, there's an expectation, I guess, at least in my mind, that we're going to finish it. But like, it keeps like prolonging itself in these kind of different ways. And it's like, it's really funny because it's like, I love doing it. But at the same time, I'm like, I wonder when this is going to end.
See, I agree with you. I agree with you. But the thing is, the stupider this podcast gets, the more I personally enjoy it is the thing, right?
Yeah.
The more that we behave like a normal podcast, the less I enjoy what we're doing. So there's a kind of like, there's this weird duality to it for me where I have to fuck up our own podcast in order to continue to take pleasure in it. Right.
Yeah. Well, so like I remember someone writing in and like saying that they didn't know when we started, whether it was a bit or not. And like, I admit that I don't know if it's a bit. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I still don't know.
Yeah.
Is it? Like, I don't know. Is
you,
it? No?
You tell us. you tell us. Write us at theinspirationalquarterly@gmail.com to tell us whether this podcast is a bit.
And also, like, the second most interesting thing about this is I remember you suggesting we start this and going, I deliberately don't want it to have, like I don't want it to have, like, direction like a normal podcast would have. Like, you were just like, we're just going to read the book.
Well, I'd say we succeeded. I'd say the lack of direction is something we completely delivered on.
Because like one of the things that I think is like deeply confusing to people is that we're called the Inspirational Quarterly and not like this fucking, you know, StarCraft like book podcast, right? Like everyone's like, why? And the answer is like we don't know. Like, we don't know why.
Yeah. If we were called, let's just call it like it is. If this podcast was titled the StarCraft Ghost Nova Book Club, I would have had a really hard time pivoting into spending half of each episode talking about Family Guy, you know?
Right.
The name alone would have put serious constraints around me. And unconstrained, I get to pursue the various whims and whimsies that float through the air.
But yeah, so like I think it's really interesting that like every episode we don't have like a set goal of like we're going to get through 5 pages. We're not like we don't set out going, you know, we're definitely going to end the podcast episode at like 5 pages in. We just say that's enough. Approximately. And we end it, right?
And how long do you think we can spend discussing how long it has taken us to read this book, further pushing it, further moving the goalposts?
I think here. Maybe like another 50 minutes.
Another, yeah. All right. Well, let's stall a little bit more with some emails. How
okay.
about that?
Okay, let's do it.
We did get an email from Spencer Saunders. Thank you, Spencer, who says, curious how you would feel about Willem Dafoe's character in The Lighthouse being a manifestation of Garth Duke.
Oh, I am totally on board with that. Like, yeah. That is for sure the vibe.
Yeah. And if any of you haven't seen The Lighthouse, it's a wonderful little sort of horror-esque movie about Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson going crazy on an island, basically.
I mean,
in a lighthouse.
Yet another harbinger of how incredibly good of an actor Robert Pattinson is.
I know.
For years, like we all
I
knew.
Know.
All the teen girls out there I know. Knew.
I know. Here's the question, though. Who is Robert Pattinson in our version of, in the StarCraft Ghost Nova Cinematic Universe version of The Lighthouse? I did get to think about this for a second, and I'm going to say that I think it's Jeffrey the Terrorist.
I was going to say, I actually think he would make excellent Mal. Like, given his Batman turn,
yeah,
I think he would make a really good dumb detective as well. Like, a really stupid one.
Okay. Okay, but the thing is, like, Robert Pattinson in The Lighthouse is, like, the youngster who is inexperienced and, you know, sort of soft and is, you know, taken aback by Willem Dafoe's wacky old person ways, right?
Yeah.
And Mal is too hardened for that, you know? Mal
has seen some shit. Specifically the lighthouse as a template, not like
the
breadth of anyone's acting talent, just like...
No, I'm just talking about the lighthouse. I'm talking what character is a stand-in? If Garth Duke is a stand-in for Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse, who's a stand-in for Robert Pattinson?
Wait, isn't like...
And I'm saying I think Jeffrey the terrorist would be great.
Isn't Nova's dumb idiot brother kind of a good one as well?
That would be good.
Because
that
he's was, like okay, super into padball.
You're totally right. Because Well, no. He's not into padball.
Oh, no, he's not the one who's into padball.
No. That's the dude who hit on Nova, who wanted to get in her pants.
Yeah, he could play either one of these.
Oh, yes. Wait, what's that dude's fucking name? Hang on. I have the book here. I'm going to look it up. What was that shithead's name? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. God, do you remember this? This was ages ago. This was a literal year ago that we did this. Morgan.
I can't believe it was a year ago. Oh, yeah, Marian.
Morgan. Oh, yes, Morgan. What's his name? Morgan Calabas.
Yes,
remember Morgan Calabas?
Because Calabas, because it sounds like he comes from Calabasas, the country of dumb.
So in the StarCraft world, Morgan Calabas is like one of the scions of the old families, right? He's this preppy, rich, you know, spoiled guy who just wants to play padball and hook up with chicks, right?
Right.
And then one day, you know, Mr. Calabas, the patriarch of the family says, Morgan, you've gotten too soft. You know, all you do is play padball and eat Antiguan buffalo meat. You're going to learn to be a real man. You're going to go with your Uncle Garth. And of course, Garth Duke is not really his uncle, but they like call him Uncle Garth, right? And so he says, you're going to go with Uncle Garth and learn to be a real man. And then they send him out to the fucking island with the lighthouse on it to live there with Garth Duke. And Garth Duke is just getting fucking wasted, you know, and like... And astral projecting and shit, you know? And he teaches Morgan Calabas to be a real man.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's mainly because, like, isn't there a bit in The Lighthouse where Robert Pattinson's character gets, like super horny and starts
mermaid.
Yeah, starts hallucinating mermaids.
Yeah, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah. That was what I was
You were going to say Fox the Mermaid. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
And Morgan Calabas is like, hell yeah, dog. I'm getting it with a mermaid.
Yeah. I mean, don't they just like, ultimately, they both just like, I mean, they just kind of spiral until, yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like, it's not... Well, okay, let's not spoil The Lighthouse, but there's nothing to spoil, really. But anyway.
No, it's not going to be like a jolly, you know, lovely things.
But here's the question. Here's the question. In the end, does Garth Duke teach Morgan Calabas to truly be a man?
I mean, I would say, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Ultimately, if you put anyone in a harsh environment, you're going to teach them about themselves. I mean,
yeah.
Masculinity aside, I think, you know, you just, you know, get on with it.
Is Garth Duke a manly man?
You know what? I always imagined him as kind of a dandy. You know, like a little bit of a dandy, like a little bit of a ruffle, you know?
But here's the thing. I think that Garth Duke teaching Morgan to be a man is about embracing his like inner dandy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always imagined Garth Duke as a kind of like aging like Rupert Everett type figure or something, you know, like someone who liked to party, was a little bit camp, was a little bit strange in like taste and like aesthetics. I don't know. I always thought he was, mm-hmm. he was probably, you know, everyone who's like the real life of the party is a little bit camp. I always think.
Yeah. 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 No, I like this. Okay. I know I initially said Jeffrey on the island, but more, this is bad. I like this. And I like the idea that I like the idea. Can I just say this now? I'm inserting my own narrative into this book. But I think Morgan comes back a changed man. I think he comes back from this experience a genuinely better, kinder, more compassionate human being.
Right.
You know? A man who thinks about others and truly does the work of real compassionate empathy toward the people around him. I think it does it. And does it have a little bit to do with fucking the mermaid? Yeah, a little bit. Sort of. That's part of it.
I mean, how can you learn empathy if you don't fuck the mermaid?
I think that he wouldn't be as good at empathy if he hadn't fucked the mermaid.
Yeah.
Was that 100% of it? No.
Yeah.
But it was something. It was something.
Yeah.
So wherever Morgan is at this, at page 288 of StarCraft Goes Nova, wherever Morgan is right now,
he's learned his lesson.
I think he's all right. I think he's doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's thanks to Garth Duke once again.
Once again, I think probably needs his own book. He desperately needs more content.
I also, before we get into the book today, I want to give a quick shout out. And this is a shout out to an internet user named Red Viv. It happens that we, in the time since recording the last episode of this podcast, I made an announcement on the internet that my new video game, Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, is coming out soon, April 27th, blah, blah, blah. And there was on the internet website rockpapershotgun.com, which did write an article about it. I did see there is a user who posted a comment named Red Viv, who says, "How does Davey find the time when he has to watch so much Family Guy that it boggles his and all of us and all of us dozens of listeners of the Inspirational Quarterly's mind?" And you know what?
I've secretly been doing all the work, Viv. Like, I've just been rambling around, you know, recording several different strands of the Stanley Parable in my spare time.
Oh, you're the one doing the Stanley Parable while I watch Family
you're
Guy.
You're watching all the Family yeah. Guy, and you have to report to me, the person making Stanley
yeah.
Parable.
Man, Stanley Parable easily would have come out last year if not for my tangent into Family Guy. That, as soon as Family Guy came up, I said, "Whoa, everyone, we need to pause this for a second."
You watched one episode a week and you recovered for the rest of the week.
Basically, yes. Yes, that's exactly what it is. And two likes on this comment. Two likes. So, a total of three people. Three people from Rock Paper Shotgun fuck with the Inspirational Quarterly.
Yes! Anyone listening who also reads Rock Paper Shotgun and did not comment there, you either got to comment or like Red Viv's comment now.
Yeah, that's true. It's not too late
it's
to go back to that comment
to go back.
And fucking like bomb this comment.
Just this one comment.
And then that way, if we all pile onto this comment and like it a ton, then everyone on the internet who goes and seeks out this multiple weeks old blog post about a video game release date announcement and scrolls down to the comments and looks through all of them and counts the likes on all of them and realizes that this comment has more likes than the others and Googles whatever the fuck the Inspirational Quarterly is, we've got those people now. That's new audience, me baby. That's new demographic all for us. And so, you know, that's easily got to be several hundred new listeners that we'll get through that.
But also, Davey, it will be our own little secret, our little secret cabal of people who all know what that means, but we won't tell you unless you know by the podcast, in which case, okay.
But here's the thing. What if the podcast goes super, super big as a result of this? Then it's not a little cabal anymore.
No, I want it to be like, everyone be like looking at this comment, trying to figure out, just being like, wait, like, how do they know that he's been watching a lot of Family Guy? And then
they're just Google the Inspirational Quarterly and then they'll find it. It's all right there. It's all on the internet. They can find this easily.
But they would have to listen to all of the Inspirational Quarterly.
Yeah, and they will, because that's how fascinating the mystery behind this internet comment is.
I would just give up at like episode one. Like, I'm telling you right now, like, if I listened to our own podcast.
No. Once you've heard that this guy watched a lot of Family Guy, you there's no way you're quitting.
Did they specify which season of Family Guy though? That you watch?
No, just Family Guy in general. But I did watch episodes from multiple seasons of Family Guy, to be fair. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but this is pro bono work. I did this on my own, okay? I did pop around to a couple other seasons of Family Guy and watch other episodes just to compare, just because I wasn't sure how bad season 10 was relative to the others.
And it turns out it was really bad.
I promised not to talk about this anymore, okay? I swore we wouldn't talk about Family Guy. I did look at our listenership numbers. And as of the time that I started introduced this week in season 10 of Family Guy, our listenership dropped off precipitously.
Oh my God, Davey.
Distinctly dropped off.
And I remember
off.
You didn't even tell me you were going to do it. You just stuffed it in there. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Fuck everyone. Fuck everyone. Yeah, that's my policy.
Yeah, that is your motto.
That's my motto. Yeah. Only slightly less crazy making than being on an island alone with Garth Duke.
Yeah, which, I mean, I would love to be on an island alone with Garth Duke.
God, that would be fucking great. Oh, that would be amazing. That'd be amazing. I would come back a better person from that, for sure.
So any other emails? Is that all?
No.
No,
that's all we got. All right. We got the email from Spencer. Thank you, Spencer. And the comment from Red Viv. Thank you, Red Viv, for going out into the world.
Wouldn't it be amazing if in like every post that they did about this Stanley Parable coming out, like someone mentioned your love of Family Guy?
I'm not saying that everyone listening to this needs to go on to every single post that Rock Paper Shotgun makes about the Stanley Parable, like, and somehow work the Inspirational Quarterly into the comment section. But if you did, I'll definitely read them on the podcast.
The funniest thing ever would be, like, you know, people are commenting, there's like someone just like, yeah, this Stanley Parable, like, really great and everything, like, thumbs up, but like, I am really concerned for Davey about the amount of Family Guy he watches.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, again, I want to be clear, not watching as much Family Guy anymore as I used to. Distinctly less Family Guy than in the past. So.
I would like everyone to comment on Davey's various interests from the Inspirational Quarterly on all of the Stanley Parable posts that you can find.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, shall we get back to the book?
Let's do it.
All right. Page 288, I believe.
Indeed. I think, where are we at? Shall I just, I'll just start at the second paragraph so that we get a bit of context. Okay. So we're talking about, you know, these like elaborate training sessions that Nova has to go through. And Hartley is the instructor of those things. And generally speaking, he's been putting her through her paces. So she pushed herself. When Hartley taught her a sequence of punch combinations that she needed to know, she did not rest until she got it right. When Hartley told her to do 40 push-ups on one fist, she forced herself to do them no matter how her shoulders and biceps burned with fatigue and how much her muscles refused to cooperate. Of course, she had to accomplish the other things too, but she wasn't concerned about that. Time and practice would show her how to hone her telepathy and telekinesis, a process she'd already started in the gutter, where she had taught herself under awful conditions how to manipulate Marcus's arms so he'd shoot Fagin. I mean, Davey, obviously, you need to be able to manipulate Marcus's arms so they can shoot Fagin. That's an obvious skill you need in battle, is Marcus's arms shooting Fagin.
I'm curious, why is Keith repeating the exact thing that just happened in the book? And what's funny is that to us, to you and me, this happened months ago, right? But if you're reading the book like a normal person, this literally just happened.
Normal person happened like 5 pages ago.
To a normal person, this just happened.
Right.
And now here Keith is stepping in and clarifying, hey, just in case you forgot, She mined to the arm and then gun bullet into Fagin.
Well, I mean,
do you remember that?
What's interesting is that, you know, maybe Keith is catering to people who read as slowly as us. Maybe he's got us in mind.
Oh, man. Do you think, you know, Keith? Okay. How slow is it possible to read this book and be genuinely, like, we're probably going slower than, okay, if you imagine someone who takes their time with a piece of literature to really absorb it, surely no actual human being in history has read a book as slowly as we are reading it. And I mean by virtue of they needed to stop to like process what they'd read, and they kept going when they had fully processed that section. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, isn't this like a tradition in podcasts to kind of do this where there's a sort of dissection part of it? Like,
That's what I mean. Set aside the format of a person doing this for a podcast or a book club or whatever.
Right.
I'm talking about a human being. Well, okay. Unless you're saying that Keith is specifically introduced to that section for people doing podcasts and book clubs or something like that, where they're being forced to read it chapter by chapter,
yeah,
for example, right? But I'm saying, is it possible that a person could be reading StarCraft Ghost Nova and just literally be taking the length of pauses that we are taking, but just in order to like internalize everything that they just read?
I mean, I would respect that. If they were doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I would respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about what's happened since since Nova manipulated Marcus's arms, it's like the building collapsed and then
she
turned
up in the camp.
Yeah, and then Malcolm was on the pasteur.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe a normal person needed to stop to think about the naming of the ship, the Pasteur, for example. And like that took them a week out of the book.
Maybe. Yep. Could see that.
So I don't know. Like, it's possible that this recap of what happened is for that kind of person as well.
Yeah. Well, why is Nova thinking about this particular thing? Well, those were disciplines of the mind at which Nova had always succeeded in the past. It was her.
No, she didn't. Nova fucked this up every step of the way. Nova has not always succeeded. Nova couldn't. Nova spent 6 months not being able to attack a person literally with her mind.
I know.
That's her only power. And for 6 months, she couldn't do it. Nova has not always succeeded in
the past. Well, I mean, in Nova's mind, then, she must be, like, super excellent at it. But it's, like, clearly obvious that she's not.
Is she talking about how good she is at killing on behalf of a crime lord?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she's like, I've always succeeded in killing Bagan with Marcus's arm, so...
Yeah, right. She's like, the second that someone needs me to manipulate Marcus into killing Fagan, I'm on it.
I can do it.
I got it. When can we get to that portion of the training?
Right.
I'm ready for that.
But then she goes on to say, it was her body she wanted more than anything else to be in proper shape for what she was to do. But then we both discussed the fact that, like, if she just had a very powerful telekinetic mind, she wouldn't have to do anything with her body.
I think we've covered this particular point about 4 times on this podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we keep stopping in between these sections.
Besides, she got to...
But it continues to baffle us, yes.
Besides, she got to wear a size screen during the physical training. She wore it during some of the weapons training, too. The first year, all trainees wore size screens when they were training in groups to avoid distractions. Many of the weapon sessions were one-on-one, so she didn't wear it then. But the physical workouts were always in groups, so they were protected from each other's thoughts. So she's enjoying it because she gets to wear a size screen and it's quiet.
Oh, so she doesn't have to think about shitty Billy over there, you know.
Is that like his full name?
Shitty Billy.
Shitty Billy.
Yeah. Shitty Billy. Yeah, no, that's, yeah. last name Billy, first name Shitty.
I mean, everyone loves Shitty Billy.
Yeah, that's a vote of confidence from your parents right there. This one's going to turn out all right. Shitty Billy.
Well, there's only one thing we can do with this baby. His name is Shitty.
Mrs. Billy, Mrs. Billy, your boy is here. It's a healthy boy, a healthy baby, healthy bouncing baby boy. But real shitty baby, Mrs. Billy. I don't know how to tell you this. They don't always come out as shitty as this one.
This one is a real shitty baby.
This one came out real shitty. And then Nova, and then they all get all the new recruits together, and you know they're like, oh, this is Nova Terra. You know you may know her from being involved in the death of all of her family, blah blah blah, blah. But this is Shitty Billy. And now this is a real piece of ass right here. This is a real numbnuts over here. And then Nova's like, well, okay, all right. Hang on. I was just mad libsing swear words together. I didn't mean to imply that.
Shitty Billy is a real piece of
super
ass.
Hot. Super Shitty Billy is like super hot. And that's why he keeps getting away with everything.
He's just really hot. But he's called Shitty Billy.
But he's just a real piece of shit.
That is like incredible character building. And I'm definitely gonna try and put that character in my next game.
You know what? Shitty Billy may be a real shitty piece of ass, but I'll tell you, who's gonna I'll tell you who's gonna whip this piece of shit into shape, and that's Garth Duke. We're sending Shitty Billy out to live in a lighthouse on an island with Garth Duke. By the time Shitty Billy comes away from this training with Garth Duke, you're just gonna be human Billy.
Just normal Billy.
Just normal Billy.
Or no shit Billy.
No shit Billy.
No shit Billy.
Not what about not Shitty Billy? That's like honorifics in the Billy family, you know? How, you know, rather than like Mr. Billy or whatever, you'd become not, you know, because then you're like not shitty Billy. Is this a thing? Is what I'm saying coherent? I don't know.
I don't even know anymore. I actually started to cry laugh a little bit.
Look, here's the point.
Spectacularly, of course, I guess.
No. This is all relevant to the plot.
It's all relevant.
I've been holding the lungs together up to this point, but Shitty Billy's throwing it all off.
Shitty Billy is not your COVID-y. You're way more COVID-y now.
Damn it, Shitty Billy. Why would you continue to do this to me? Okay, here's what I say, all right?
This is the sound of two people dying. It's what you're listening to. Two people are dying. We're dying.
Shut up and let me describe the scene. Okay. All right. Nova comes in from training and she's like, whatever, I've hung out with crime lords and murderers for the last 6 months. A man, you know, there was a guy who was so on drugs that he thought he was like the king of France or whatever the pitcher's deal was, you know, like a dude made me kill 75, you know, humans. And it was, oh my God, it was the worst. Like I can put up with anything. And then they're like, all right, Nova, here's the new recruits you'll be hanging out with for the next period of time. Let me introduce you to Shitty Billy. And then Nova reads Shitty Billy's mind and is like, you're the worst human being by far that I've encountered to date. Of all the crime, the criminal, Fagin, everything Fagin is his nonsense. All the, you know, Malcolm and his horrible smile and all of that shit. All of the terrorists who blew up my family. Shitty Billy is the worst one of all of them, right? And so Nova gets the sigh screen. She's like, finally, some peace and quiet from Shitty Billy. Yeah, you know?
It's kind of a relief.
That's why she wants to do the physical training so badly, is because that's when they let her have the sigh screen. And so therefore that's when she's free from Shitty Billy, basically. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back on track here.
Shitty Billy fucking loved season 8 of Game of Thrones. Loved it. Loved it.
Imagine the mind of someone who loved that season of television.
Imagine the sick, perverted, twisted brain of this piece of scum. Said send you out to spend some time with Uncle Garth. That'll straighten you out.
It was Shitty Billy said he was one of the writers of the last season of the Game of Thrones.
Well, that's why he loves it so much.
Because, like, did you read that story of the guys who were in charge of it? And they basically just made it up from the books. And they didn't even read, like, they didn't know what they were reading, even. They had no idea how to make it. And then, like, the last season, they're like, ah, no dragons.
No, but here's the thing, okay? Those two guys, we know who those two guys are. And we won't say their names here for legal reasons, but those two guys, you know that they weren't in it alone, right? We all have advisors that we turn to, you know, people who are wiser than us that we ask for advice. You know, I think in the walk of life, we all do this, right? There's always someone we turn to when we're in doubt and we say, okay, I, you know, I want to get back to something that feels real to me and clear and straightforward. And I think for those two guys, that was shitty Billy.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, like their muse, their mentor, their guy, the one that when they said, how do we do, you know, there's so much pressure to deliver on this show. What do we do? You know? And shitty Billy was like, guys, sit down. Let's talk for a minute. You know, let's hash this out. And then shitty Billy just spoke word for word the script of every episode of season 8 of Game of Thrones over a coffee table in the middle of a Starbucks, sat and just free associated kind of, he just went into a sort of dissociative state and just spoke it out loud, and one of the two guys just pulled out his phone and started recording it. And then Shitty Billy blacked out and had to go to a hospital for like 3 weeks. And that's why season 8 of Game of Thrones was so short, because he blacked out before he could say the whole thing. But anyway, and that's it. That's where it all came from. So it's a little behind the scenes fun fact for you fans at home.
Any of you Game of Thrones people who really wanted to know.
Join us for our new segment this week in season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Oh my god. You know what? I stopped watching Game of Thrones in the second season because it annoyed the hell out of me. And I didn't go back to it. I'm like, the only reason I would go back to it now is to watch the bad season to see how bad it is.
it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. All right. Anyway, the point is, Shitty Billy is over here.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
I know the listeners are like, wow, they went like over a year without catching COVID just at the end.
Right at the end.
At the end. It got them.
Do you know who gave me COVID? This is not a joke. Do you know who gave me COVID?
Who?
Shitty Billy.
Shitty Billy. Of course it was him.
Of course it was him.
He's real shitty.
What a real piece of ass.
What a real piece of ass.
real fucking hot man.
Really beautiful, stupid man.
Just a gorgeous, gorgeous, dumb man. That's why I can't stop. I know he's got, I know that he is like riddled with COVID, but riddled with COVID, but I can't stop hanging out with him.
He's wearing his mask like on his chin.
He's okay. I saw a person wearing a mask that was like the mask looked like the portion, the lower half of one's mouth with a mask pulled down over the chin.
Oh.
Right? It's kind of clever, nice. You know, but so
pretending so to be Shitty Billy,
right? But Shitty Billy is wearing that mask, but actually pulled down over his chin.
Oh my god! I hope we get like fan drawings, like fan art of Shitty Billy. Now, oh my god, the world building, so good.
Anyway, Shitty Billy is one of the okay. But here's the question: if Shitty Billy is...
it has to have like a little, if anyone sends his fan art Shitty Billy, it has to have like a little flag on it saying Shitty Billy behind him, right? And then underneath it has to have the tagline in quotation marks: "A real piece of ass."
A real piece of ass. Okay, but to actually get back to the book.
No.
If Shitty Billy is one of these recruits, then he must be psychic, right? Like he's got to actually be psychic.
Yeah.
Or he could be faking that he's psychic.
I mean, no, he probably has to have some provable. But like what is like the shittiest telekinesis you could do?
asking the real. Welcome to the Inspirational Quarterly, asking the real questions. What's the shittiest telekinetic power that you could have? It would be like.
Like you can lift a tissue. Like
this is such a yes. Okay, right. Okay. No, no, there's two ways of looking at this, right?
Yeah.
Because you could say that a person has a shitty power when it is a poor use, when it is like a weak use of the power, or when it is the use of a power that is really inconsiderate toward others, right?
Or what if what if you could only telekinesis like a sock? Or socks. Socks are the only you're limited to a certain object or like a certain like action that like I don't know is really not useful at all.
What if his telekinesis only works when there's nobody there or impacted by it at all?
Yeah, he has to do all this telekinesis by himself. Like,
yeah, right.
Deserted room.
Right.
Useful.
Yeah.
How would he get into this program if he couldn't? I mean, this is like about, you know, enemy combatants, right? So like,
yeah, right.
You can't get into this program if that's the case.
Well, if you're a real piece of ass, maybe you can.
Yeah, Billy, shitty Billy, you are not good at any of this.
Your psychic power sucks, but goddamn, are you hot.
Goddamn, you are a real piece of ass.
I just can't take my eyes off you.
Oh, dear. He's like throwing socks everywhere. They're just like, well... At least he's good looking.
at least that's the hottest recruit I've seen this side of the galaxy. Okay, Nova uses the psi screen in order to not have to hear shitty Billy's stupid thoughts. All right.
Her fellow trainees had complained about it, the psi screen that is, but she loved the peace and quiet it gave her from shitty Billy's crappy thoughts.
Wait. So her fellow trainees are mad that she's using the psi screen?
No, they're mad that like they have to use it because they like eavesdropping on people.
Oh.
But she doesn't like it.
Oh, I
you know,
got
because
it.
Of her experiences people.
I thought what they were saying was like, we all have to listen to shitty Billy's thoughts. So Nova should have to listen to it as well.
Yeah, like we all have to hear his stupid garbage.
Yeah.
She gets to not. After 6 months at the academy, she was already farther along than the ones who'd been doing it for a year. She could do 40 push-ups on one fist without being too out of breath, could field strip a turret shotgun in under a minute, had scored above 10 with the lockdown gun. 10 doesn't seem very high, but okay.
What I don't know how many out of I don't know how many 10 is.
I don't know what the 10. I'm sure it's only the trainees in their final year ever scored as high as 10, Keith says.
That doesn't seem I don't know. That doesn't seem like 10 isn't an impressive sounding number.
Had scored right? above 10 with the lockdown gun. Lockdown gun?
It doesn't say what that means.
No.
Like, it doesn't say what the lockdown gun is or how long they use it. It's just 10. She just scored 10.
Yeah.
10 what? 10 what, Keith?
10
what?
10.
Just 10.
You know, hoops. Maybe she has to throw the gun into the hoop.
Oh, yeah. Right. With her mind.
With her mind. Was able to effectively screen out the thoughts of anybody in the room, the hardest trick for as powerful a telepath as her wasn't reading minds, but not reading them. Well, you know, shitty Billy is there, so she's like super excited.
Well, that's,
to...
That's the thing, right? You bring Shitty Billy in. That's like
the number one thing you want to do is
exactly
cut that guy out.
Well, and that's part of the people running the program.
Yeah,
they're thinking, hey, we got to get this guy in with the other recruits. In fact, let's have him come back every year.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, oh, Garth, you know, Uncle Garth is gonna go take him to the island and train him to be a better person. No. Don't make him a better person. You don't know how effective this is making our new recruits at honing their psychic abilities, because everyone is so excited to. Well, okay, no, hang on. I said that, but just two paragraphs ago, it says her fellow trainees had complained about the psi screens, about being protected from each other's thoughts. So this would imply that the rest of the trainees do want to hear what Shitty Billy has to
right,
think about.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Because maybe they're into it, you know?
Well, you know, he's good looking.
He is super good looking. And they,
you know.
And so then they keep forgetting. They're like, oh, this guy is so hot. His thoughts must be as hot.
Well, they're trying to like listen to his thoughts so they can try and, you know, get into his pants. I mean, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're trying to get on board with the bullshit to get Shitty Billy.
You must be this shitty to ride.
Exactly. That's the t-shirt he wears.
That's the t-shirt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His off page, he's like, yep.
He's got two thumbs and his Shitty Billy. This guy.
I love him so much now. He doesn't even exist. It's perfect.
The best character Keith has
never
written.
And had decimeters precision with her telekinesis.
Very unspecific. A decimeters precision.
Decimeters precision.
What does that mean? Did she?
I don't know if it's like measurable. Like, are they doing this in laboratory conditions? Is what I want to know. Like, how do they know? Are they measuring every move? Like, I mean, you know, just want to know these things.
What is telekinesis? Telekinesis is just moving things. You know, you can't. How can you move things? Like she can move things exactly a decimeter.
I mean,
that's not a very impressive power.
Yeah, you'd think that like Shitty Billy could like,
that's,
you know, it's just
that's a shitty,
just a decimeter.
That's a shitty power.
That's his shitty power, is that he'd only move a decimeter thing, a decimeter. Yeah. And it's like not noticeable to anyone in the room.
And when he's fighting bad guys, he yells, "Time to get decimated." And then he moves them exactly a decimeter.
Oh no. Okay, so I want to go slightly off track here because this is reminding me of something.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Kara, we have so much book to get through.
Oh my god, though. So my favorite thing in the entire world is that Noel and Liam Gallagher don't like each other very much from, you know, remember from that band Oasis way back in our, you know, Britpop years or whatever. And essentially, apparently, because Noel didn't, and the rest of the band didn't like Liam very much, they would go, Liam believed in ghosts. So they would go into Liam's hotel room when he was not there and move the furniture ever so slightly and then talk really loudly about how there were ghosts around in the hotel. And then every time he left his room, they would go in after him and move the furniture very so slightly. And then he would go back in and thought the entire time the ghosts were real, that he was constantly haunted by ghosts. And then someone told that story to the press like years later, and essentially Liam had never realized that it was a prank. And it just made me love him, even though everyone hates him. It just sounded like the funniest. Anyway, the decimeter's precision just reminded me of like the shitty ghost that haunts Liam Gallagher from Oasis. You can look it up.
Okay.
I swear to God, it is true. It is totally true.
Let me, imagine this is Shitty Billy's power. Okay?
Yeah.
No. Imagine the power. His power is if everyone else around him closes their eyes, he can move things in the room. He can slide things around the room, and then they open their eyes and the things are moved, but he can only do it while their eyes are closed. And he's just
like a crap moving, ghost.
He's just moving the furniture around while they're not looking. Right. Is the thing.
He could just play like really rubbish musical chairs.
Yes. Yes.
Damn. Yes. All right.
All right.
I guess back to the
Decimeter's position. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hartley had even let her start training on a vulture, even though that wasn't supposed to come until the second year. So, you know.
Is that a StarCraft thing?
It is a StarCraft thing. Like, I don't know if you know, but we are reading a book about the StarCraft universe.
Whoa. But I feel like we're vultures. No, there was Valkyries. That right? That's a...
No.
That's
like,
that was like a...
The vultures are like the little... They're like almost like, you know, like motorbikes, but like more futuristic. That's a terrible description. Like more future-y. Vultures were like...
Is
these.
This in the game?
They're like a little scout class.
Oh yes,
you know, like
I'm
the
looking
little...
this up right now. Yeah, I remember these. Okay. Gotcha.
Oh my god, I can't believe I'm nerdier than you. That's terrible. But yeah.
No, I know it, but I'm just, you know, bad at brain. So
brain bad now.
Yeah.
Shitty Billy.
Bad now. Shitty Billy.
Shitty Billy brain.
What? What StarCraft unit would Shitty Billy commandeer in the video?
Commandeer? Yeah.
Obviously a battleship.
Yeah, the battleship. My god, the battleship was my favorite because you got like the Russian captain who's like, "Take it slow." Okay, so she knew what the other trainees thought of her. Every once in a while, at night in her bunk, trainees slept alone. As it was felt that roommates would be distractions, she would open up her mind and listen to everyone around her. Teacher's pet, always, I bet she's sleeping with Hartley, sucking up to Hartley. That kind of, how else would she rate this treatment thing? Just makes me sick. Nobody's really that good. She's just, I so want her. That faking it with her teak power is probably supple body, especially now. This is just Shitty Billy's thoughts. All of this is
all Shitty Billy. All of these, every single one of these thoughts is just Shitty Billy.
Especially now that moving around the size screen somehow, she's all toned. That's probably working with that confed. Nice. Maybe if I can get up the courage to talk to her, who brought her in, the lousy slick, something will happen.
Goddamn, Shitty Billy. This is why she needs the size screen so badly. Who would be worse, Shitty Billy or Morgan Calabas in his prime?
I mean, we've made Shitty Billy into a monster.
He is a real monster, right? So, like, definitely, because this is the kind of stuff that Morgan was thinking about Nova back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But, okay. I'm just trying to like understand the situation here because they have all of these psychics next to each other, right?
Yeah.
And they can presumably all just read each other's minds, right?
Yeah.
So are they all just sitting there reading everything that every other person is saying constantly?
I mean, I thought that it was implied that Nova was more powerful than them. But that might not be the case.
They're all psychic.
Yeah, that's true.
First off, they're all psychic. Second off, they know that she's super powerful. So they're sitting there thinking about how they want to feel her up. Like, and she's psychic and she's right over there.
Well, you know, I mean, I wouldn't put it past people to like, you know, want to enact some psychic violence. Like, I mean, I think if you had all this, like, you know, power in your mind, maybe there is a part of you that would just be like, I want you to listen because then, like, I have more power over you kind of deal. I don't know.
Yeah. That is a real Shitty Billy move.
I mean, I don't think the shitty Billy is smart enough to think that up. I actually just think the shitty Billy is horny. Like, that's all I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. Yeah, it's just because I don't know. There's always, especially in movies or TV shows or whatever, there's always the trope of the nerdy, smart kid who everyone hates because they're so smart. Right. Like,
I don't know if it's like, so when people hate smart kids, I don't know if it's like the hatred of them being smart as much as like, I think they're jealous of the fact that they don't have to put in work to be as good as they are. Right.
Yeah.
Some people do kind of just naturally like have aptitude for stuff, I guess. I don't know.
But you can say that about a situation where, say, a person is, you know, unusually born just very intelligent and, you know, they go to school and they ace their exams because whatever, they just happen to be very smart, right? But we're in a military academy right now. Nova is doing like 1,000 push-ups every single day. They're in training facilities. She was... for lack of a better term, shitty at this coming into it. She was a 15-year-old girl with no physical training ever, and she sat down and went to the fucking gym. Do you know what I mean? Like, every day. And around all the other people who are also going to the gym. So it's like, that's not a thing. You can't just be like, oh... So-and-so has, I mean, I'm probably severely not giving enough credit to the power of bullies to justify their bullying for whatever reason. Just saying.
I mean, I think there's an
element. In a military situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of jealousy probably in terms of, you know, don't bullies just choose people whose life they want for their own and then try and like bring them down a notch or like try and like pick up like the things that they're self-conscious about? I mean, there's like one of the things about this is that it's clear from the way that Keith is writing this that like Nova is like, she's not making any friends here deliberately. She's really isolated. You know, she's like, she's not friendly, you know, she doesn't want to make friends here. She doesn't feel like she has anything in common with any of these people. So that's probably an element of it, right? Like,
she's not here to make friends.
Yeah. When you're this strange kid who like,
she's just here to win the $1 million.
Yeah. But like, her family's been on the news. She's like rich. She's like, the strange kid who like, doesn't want to make any friends. Like, she's clearly not making herself palatable to them, yeah. Right? So it's probably just making her be picked on in that way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, I'm not gonna pretend like I was, you know, bullied as a kid or whatever, so I don't know. I'm not familiar with this process, to be honest.
I mean, I was bullied mercilessly, but it doesn't really illuminate the reasons for bullying very well. You know, like, being subject to it is not, like, you don't get any, like insight into it. You're just like, God, this feels shitty every day. But, like, you don't actually know why it's happening. Like, I don't know.
You would know why it was happening if you were a psychic.
Right.
Like Nova is.
But then I don't know if that would be helpful or not. Would it be helpful? I have no idea. Like, people used to, like, pick on my looks. But it's, like, not like you could change that, right? So it's, like...
Yeah.
But now that I don't look so gross, now I'm just, like, pissed off about it, you know, whereas like when it was happening to me, I'm like, well, what do I do about it? I can't do anything. So
yeah
it was just
nobody
it was just because I was so beautiful.
Nobody can make fun of shitty Billy because that kid was born beautiful,
hot piece of ass.
born. The doctor pulled shitty Billy out of the womb. Said, Mrs. Billy, this is the shittiest baby I've ever seen, but it's also the most beautiful baby I've ever seen.
How can the two be true at the same time? We don't know.
Mrs. Billy, let me tell you, I've pulled a lot of babies out of a lot of wombs. And I can tell when they're gonna bully and when they're gonna be bullied. And this is a baby that's gonna bully. This is a baby that's hot enough to bully other people.
So wait, Davey, were you like a Letterman at school? Like, were you like the most popular kid? What was the deal?
No, I was nobody at school. I wasn't good or bad. I was sideways, you know?
Oh, you're just like the wallpaper kid from the indie movie.
Yeah, basically, pretty much. Like, I was a dork. But we didn't have the like thing where dorks are, you know, it was like being dorky was like the middle ground wallpaper type of situation.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool. I was like dorky, but like dorky was definitely not cool where I grew up. Well, I grew up in
one of the worst parts
of Aberdeen, but yeah.
Not cool, but just like you could blend into the background. You know,
yeah.
you could be the you know, what's his name from, oh my God, what's the dude's name from Scrubs? He's the guy who came into my mind.
Oh, Zach Braff.
Zach Braff. That's for some reason, he's the guy I imagine, you know, in the navel-gazy indie movie standing with his
shirt. Yeah, because he made one of those. Same... Yeah, that was his directorial debut.
Yeah. Anyway. I was the Zach Braff of our school.
The Zach Braff of shitty, but it was hot.
What can I say? I was shitty, but I was hot.
You were a hot piece of ass.
I was a shitty piece of ass.
Shitty piece of ass. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us today on the Inspirational Quarterly. We made it all the way. Let me tell you, take you on a little journey here today. If you can believe it, we started today on page 288 of StarCraft Ghost Nova. And we made it all the way to page 289 of StarCraft Ghost Nova. So, a real journey.
If you can believe it!
If you can believe it. It's two pages
it's
once
two
again.
Two pages once again.
Yeah. Well, join us next week when we start page 290. Sorry. We'll make it all the way to page 291. And if God willing, with Keith's help, we'll make it there. Thank you for joining me on this journey, Kara.
Well, thank you, Davey, and thank you, Keith.
And thank you, Keith. Oh, and the question is, were there no strangers, only friends we've not met yet? I want to say Shitty Billy counts. And I feel weird about in because this would now make 2 weeks in a row that we've inserted our own character into this category, but you know what, it's my fucking podcast, so
may as well
31 episodes in a row. 31 episodes in a row it's been. We did it once again. Thanks everyone for joining. If you want to send us, you know, whatever, you can email us at theinspirationalquarterly@gmail.com. Kara, you have a final thought for us?
My final thought is
definitely... That's all the time we have today on the Inspirational Quarterly. We'll see you next time. Goodbye, and thanks, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.